Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. Thank you all for being here. We're excited to be here, and I'm really happy today to be here with my friend Paul Diamond coming to us live from Peru. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Jim. Hello, audience.
Hello, audience. Good to see you. Going to have a great conversation today, and really excited to have you guys on our adventure to talk about surrender. And we're going to dive into that pretty heavily or lightly, depending on how you feel about the topic. But really wanted to look at how surrender impacts us. How do we step into it? What does it accomplish in real time? What does it mean to surrender? I know there's a lot of concepts out there and ideas about it. And most of them probably are kind of favorable, but mostly like feels like I got to sacrifice. And I think there's a very big difference between the two. So we're going to get into that at length. And Paul has agreed to take us in a little bit of a meditation at the end of the program to give us a good experience of surrender and how that feels and what that looks like. So before we dive in, we're going to take a moment here to focus, as we have been doing on our shows, just to get everybody present in the moment, to bring you all here and now, and also to encourage you to really tap into that foundation of breath. And every day remembering that the foundation of our experience is how we manage breath, because breath is energy, breath is life, breath is all of that that keeps us going. So the more we understand about how we use our breath, how we manage our breath, the more stable foundation we create for our own growth and evolution. So I like to take a minute here to bring that focus. So let's start, if we could. You're welcome to have your eyes opened or closed. Closed is usually a little better, but whatever works for you. And just take a moment and feel into your body. Just take a moment and feel into your body. How does it feel right now? What are you experiencing right now? And as you're bringing that awareness to your body, let your awareness gently become completely focused in your breath. How are you breathing? Are you letting the breath fill you? Is your body relaxing as you breathe? Just become aware. First step in consciousness, become aware. And now what we're going to do is we're going to walk through about four rounds of breath. We're going to go through together, then we'll let you go through a couple on your own, and then we'll be ready to go. But let's use that breath to clean out old energy, to fill the body with some fresh new energy, and to allow us to relax into this moment right here, right now. So we're going to breathe in to a count of four, and then we're going to relax at the top, and then we're going to breathe out for a count of six, so that we really focus to purge that deep breath down in the lower part of the lungs, and any of that stale air goes away and comes out, and then we refill with fresh air. So focusing again, in through the nose and out through the mouth. We begin inhaling to a count of four. Inhale, two, three, four. Hold and relax at the top, and then release. Two, three, four, five, six, and try to relax into that exhaled space, and then open and inhale. Two, three, four, hold and relax and let it go. Two, 3, 4, 5, 6. And relaxing as we engage the inhale. 2, 3, 4. Good. Feeling that relaxation at the top fully and then releasing. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And let yourself continue that pattern for a couple more rounds, letting that air fill completely, taking all of the air into the lungs up at the top. Relax into that, consciously relax, and then let it go. And as you come to the bottom, again, relax there. One more time, nice deep breath, inhaling. Resting at the top and letting it go. Awesome. And stay in that quiet place. And again, just be present in the moment of how you're feeling in this moment. And then just take in some energy with the breath. Just take in some energy. I am love. And play with that sentence in your own experience. I am love. I am love. I am love. I am love. Engage it. Feel it. Take a moment with it. And when you're ready, open your eyes and come on back. All right. So here we go, diving in. Paul, I'd love to start this by asking you how you define surrender. What does it mean in your lexicon to surrender?
Gosh. I hope you're not expecting a one word answer.
No.
You're not gonna get one.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. I think it's not necessarily something that can be encapsulated so simply. Of course there are so many levels to the concept and idea of surrender. And, you know, I like to take it to its sort of deepest level, if we can, immediately. And sure. If we need to kind of backtrack from that point, then, you know, we can do that. I think that really what we're talking about, or what we want to try and identify, is what is the nature of ultimate surrender. I think we're all experienced, you know, being able to let certain things go in our life. You know, whether it's events or circumstance or whatever it may be. And I think all of us have some experience of, you know, being able to at least physically release, you know, in some way or another, maybe not, you know, total relaxation or anything like that. So we have an idea of what it means to kind of release and to let go and to surrender at various more superficial levels. But I think that really, yeah, we want to try and identify what is the nature of ultimate surrender. And how does that relate to our spiritual evolution and our kind of, you know, relationship with the whole as a human being? I think it's an essential question because it really gets to the crux of our ability to, you know, let go into death on one hand, which I think is an extremely important aspect of surrender. You know, that kind of ability or inability to let go into death actually manifests quite often in spiritual experience generally, whether that's meditation experience or medicine based experiences or something. You know, we come across these kind of inability or ability to let go into something grander or greater or into the unknown in some way or another. But the ultimate surrender, of course, from a spiritual perspective, is the surrender of the idea of an individualized self given over to a greater sense of self or a divine aspect of self or something of this nature. You know, the surrender of the ego really is I think, is how it would be expressed in spiritual terminology. Now, of course, what that ego construct is going to take some deconstruction to come to an understanding. But I think that, you know, that's where we want to head in the conversation, at least.
Fantastic. I was in my own process with this last night, and the place that I came to ultimately, at least in my experience now, is it feels like to me that surrender is ultimately about losing resistance. Like that surrender is every opportunity we have to lose resistance is the greatest form of surrender, to the point to getting us to the place that you're talking about, where that surrendering of the ego. But again, I think that one of the things I want to, so there's that piece, but one of the other things I want to touch on with this is clarifying a definition specifically, meaning when we talk about surrendering the ego, I know for me in history, that was always kind of surrender / sacrifice. So that surrender is equal to sacrifice. And that is actually the ego's perspective of the idea of surrender, it almost seems like. Like the ego thinks it's being sacrificed, but what we're really trying to do in surrendering the ego is the whole idea of transformation. It's transform and include, transcend and include. So transcending the ego running the show so that the ego becomes an absolute part of the soul expression. Is that being too simple?
Well, let me first say, Jim, that I really liked your definition. It was certainly much clearer than my own. A little bit more succinct. I think very accurate, you know, frictionless kind of activity. Yeah, not hitting up against anything is surrender. Yeah, I think that's a really wonderful way of defining. After that, I think it gets a little bit tricky, certainly. I think that actually there can be something of the nature of sacrifice involved if we understand the real meaning of sacrifice, which of course is to make sacred. So I think that there actually is an act of sacrifice in the lack of resistance, in the giving up of the ego, or, you know, even if we can do that without resistance, that there is actually still a certain aspect of sacrifice within that. But that's a bit of a maybe tricky semantics to a certain degree. Yours is clear enough, so we can work from there. I think the thing is it usually is egoic to try to bring about a manifestation of surrender, to try and force its activity in some way. You know, perhaps if we decide that we want to become spiritual, so we kind of force certain activities like fasting or certain kind of quite extreme practices, perhaps, or even a very strict disciplinary kind of scheduling for our activity. These can all actually be, in some case, kind of quite egoic activities and not really moving in the right direction. There needs to be a certain gentle touch with all of that. And we really want it to come from an inner response rather than from a willed egoic act. You know, one can say that will is opposite to surrender. If you're kind of, you know, trying to enforce your will upon the universe in some way, in any way, really, you know, if you're not accepting a situation as it is and you're trying to make it different in some way, yeah, we can say this in some sense is the opposite of surrender.
So would you say, as you were talking, what was really running for me was this idea of, is it surrendering, is the surrender in, or is the surrender to? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it certainly does. I think actually, as perhaps I've stated before, I feel that these they're kind of directional kind of figures of speech, in a sense. You know, they're trying to point in a certain direction. And I would say that actually a sense of directionality, whether inwards or outwards, upwards or downwards or whatever, actually kind of dissolves at a certain point. You kind of think in the same way. The inside and the outside don't appear to be so radically different from one another that you're going to be kind of like identifying it in that manner so much.
So
I would say, you know, it's both for two, and you know, it's both you're surrendering to whatever is already inside yourself, but whatever is inside yourself is also the greater reality that you're surrendering to also, because that is what's inside. So they're the same, I would say.
So would we then want to consider, rather than surrender being an act, that surrender is actually a state that we cultivate? That we would want to, similar to...
I would say, I would say ultimately, you know, perhaps it's more akin to preparing to go to sleep at night. Is you can't force sleep to happen, but you prepare certain conditions and then sleep happens automatically. So I think that you can prepare the ground for true surrender through certain activities. The true surrender isn't something that you can make happen, because making something happen is the opposite of surrender.
Basically, I have to confess to you, and you probably are aware of this, but my profound experience of surrender was with you. That was, that definition actually came from my experience with you. That has set the foundation for me, like for the past 3.5 years of that surrender is just, at least at this stage, because it evolves, it changes and it grows depending. I mean, it like everything else, but to me, it was that my whole process coming down to Peru was about surrender, that every time I would encounter resistance, that I would simply say, okay, let's just keep, let that go and let that go. And there it is. There's the resistance. Okay, that's fine. But I'm putting my attention here into surrender. I'm putting my attention to clearing my space, whatever that, you know, in that way that it looked like. So as we're talking now, the thing that's really cool, and especially as deep as you're taking this, it's interesting that it's challenging to put words to. I mean, there's lots of words we can use, but it seems like it almost I don't want to say evades because that's a little aggressive, but almost like it's definable by the individual, meaning that surrender to every individual is going to be a very unique experience. And for some, it could be resistance. For some, it could be well, I mean, I can't really call anything else, because everything ends up coming to be resistance in some form or another, or a rub. Yeah. You know, it's an anger, raid, whatever. So it's interesting. It's interesting to, it isn't as concise an area to sort of nail down, is what it feels like so far.
I think we can definitely talk about certain conditions and perhaps sort of structures of consciousness that need to be kind of put into play or activated perhaps in some way before that final kind of leap into the abyss can happen, as it were. You know, there certainly needs to be, for example, some deep level of physical relaxation. You know, if you're, you know, uptight on a physical level, you're definitely not going to be able to let go and surrender at kind of deeper levels of the being. So it certainly necessitates a deep level of relaxation. From certain spiritual traditions' perspective, for example, the Taoists, they would say that's a deep necessity, that actually we have to be able to release at the deepest levels of the physical structures of the body, be able to release even, excuse me, even down to the level of the bones, the ligaments attaching to the bones, and actually even down inside the bones, even into the bone marrow. Actually, we want to be able to relax down to that level and be able to feel and sense that we have indeed relaxed down to that level. And this, of course, releases a whole amount of energy into the system. And that energy is partly then used in order to be able to completely surrender. It gives you that kind of rocket boost to escape the atmosphere, as it were. And then, of course, along with that, I would say it necessitates a very deep level of mental relaxation. Of course, is if the mind is super busy or whatever, then of course we can't say really that we've surrendered into our own being, never mind anything that we may find within that being or anything greater than that. We haven't even kind of surrendered or relaxed or let go into our own being, whatever that may be, from moment to moment. So the mind needs to really be able to kind of like settle down. And then I think we begin to touch upon the more esoteric side of it, which is actually with the energy, also the energy that's circulating in the body. It doesn't come to stillness. Stillness equals death, actually. But energy in this case is actually sort of stabilized in some way. It comes to a condition of stability where there is a sense of solidification almost of the energy, so that one feels very compact, one feels very grounded, one feels very kind of together on one level, while the mind, whilst consciousness, is able to be very, very expansive. So I think there's these kind of different levels, and then ultimately you get into the knots within the energy system, within the karmic body. You know, you encounter not firstly necessarily in any kind of linear fashion, but right, you encounter what are called the grantis. The grantis are the yogic tradition particularly talks about them. These are knots or twists or kind of tangles in consciousness that are created via heavy, impactful karma, essentially. And they're located at the base of the spine, the back of the heart, and the jade pillow point at the back of the skull. These areas are very, very difficult to pass energy through, the kundalini energy or the energy of the microcosmic orbit, because of this condensed karmic energy. So eventually we need to be able to surrender down to that level, unwind all of that tangled, constricted energy, and open it up. So we're kind of unfolding at all of these different levels. And when we've done all of that, then we can say we're able to kind of make this leap into emptiness, into spaciousness, into an unconditional space of consciousness that doesn't necessarily have any objects to it, just a pure kind of subjectivity, where self gets absorbed into self, beyond personality, beyond desire and likes and dislikes. You know, something beyond the known, essentially. We're surrendering into that and to that.
That's amazing. And I want to, for lack of a better expression, I want to dial it back just a hair. And this may not be dialing back, but for me, it's I want to take a progression. So as you were talking, the things that were stimulated for me was, okay, so in actually, we may have a desire for surrender. There's a part of ourselves that just, you know, we have that feeling. There's something we want to surrender to, that larger part of ourselves. Say that's a pretty common expression that gets used, I think, in the metaphysical community at large. But what I'm understanding is that this is a process. This is something that it's like. Up until the point, well, I keep getting myself tangled in 14 different thoughts. So let's pick one.
Surrendered.
Yeah, surrender. It's exactly it. Oh, my goodness. So we have a desire. We know that there is a desire for surrender. So we start to build unfold steps or a practice or something that begins to do the things that you were talking about, that helps us learn how to relax the body, relax the mind, relax the nervous system. So prior to that, then, we're not really dealing with surrender. We're just dealing with the mental concept of letting go, basically, right? So
you're preparing the ground. Yeah.
Say that again?
Preparing the ground, I would
preparing
say.
The ground. So we're used to, initially it's about letting go. We say, okay, I want to let this go. I want to let this behavior go. I want to let this pain go. I want to let this feeling go. And then as we prepare the ground, as we really get the vehicle ready, then we can transition to a place of actively stepping into surrender, because that's engaging the whole energy system and not just the potentially mental and emotional bodies. Does that sound logical?
Yeah, right. I think that I don't think it always has to be a process. I think that there are special individuals who are, you know, come in with a certain energy matrix or whatever it may be, who are able to just let go. I mean, like, you know, saints like Ramana Maharshi, I'm thinking of particularly, where he, you know, just sort of fell into a deliberate trance state emulating death and was able to completely surrender off the cuff, as it were. However, such beings are rare and, you know, not so many. So for the most part, for most people, because they come in with pretty heavily impacted karma, pretty heavily impacted, you know, emotional and energy bodies, etc., they have a certain amount of work to do. It's not easy to let it all go in one. It's not even easy to let it all go over, you know, some time. It's definitely a long process. That process can definitely be facilitated in some way, can be sped up in certain ways with certain tools, no doubt. But it's still, one can say, a fairly long process. You wouldn't really want to be able to just let go in its entirety for the most part. Most people would be terrified of the power of that, of the energy that lies on the other side of the known. You know, we have to kind of approach it gradually, bit by bit, so that we aren't fried, essentially.
Yeah, well, it seems like that's a perfect place to talk about, but the expression of the joys in the journey, so to speak, is the idea is that the journey to it is as important as the experience, because you're preparing, you're getting the system ready, because like anything, if all of it left at once, the shock would probably kill you because you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. I mean,
you have to be kind of ready for spiritual truth that isn't always available to you for good reason. You know, you need to prepare the system in some way. You're talking about powerful energies. You're talking about, truths that are a little bit mind-blowing in some way and very controversial perhaps in some way, and, you know, certainly not akin to culture at large. So, you know, you've got to prepare yourself for all of that kind of thing. And it takes a certain amount of courage, and it takes enormous faith on one hand to kind of be ready to want to make that leap into the unknown. I mean, we don't know what's there, you know, initially. We're surrendering to the unknown. We may have certain concepts of it, but we can't say that we know what that is. Otherwise, we would know it and we'd be there. So.
Yeah, and we're not practiced. I think ultimately we're not practiced in not paying attention to the story. So whenever anything comes up, our human inclination is the story, but surrender is about no story.
So we attach so quickly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
This is the nature of the ego. You see, this is what we're trying to go beyond. In a sense, it's not that the ego is some kind of evil being that lives inside of you who you've got to kind of battle and destroy. It's not that at all. It's your own sense of attachment to false ideas and constructs about the nature of the true self. Is you keep attaching to the wrong thing in your identification. You attach to basic personality, you attach to basic mind, you attach to basic emotion, you attach to, you know, social constructs of self, all of this. And all of this is an incorrect identification. So that's all we're trying to do, is really move away from the incorrect identification to a correct identification. But in order to do that, we have to let go of the false identification, else we're never going to get to the truth. And for most people, they're so heavily invested in the identification that is going to become a painful process, or appear to be a painful process for them.
I think that's a very valid point. It's I know from my personal experience that what you spoke of in that sort of, we don't know what's on the other side, that becomes true. I found at every juncture that you choose, meaning, I would have experiences where even going into ceremony where something would show up, my mind would throw up something And the next thing I know, I'm already in the thought, I'm in the thought bubble, and I'm in this whole construct that the mind has created. And I have no idea what it's going to feel like to not go there, to not have that thought. And if I let it go, am I somehow losing a part of myself? Am I sacrificing something weird? And the faith that you just got to sit there and objectify that and go, my choice is to surrender. I don't know where it's taking me, but my choice is to surrender and let that energy. But the cool thing is that you have the moment of being able to see the energy leave when you do that, when you've done, like you said, when you've worked the ground. I want to cycle back real quick, if you don't mind, because I want to touch on what you talked about with the first chakra at the base. And I think you said the heart and the back of it and the pillow. The energies that are tangled there, the karmic energies, just so that the listeners are clear, these are not karmic energies that happen. They can be within the context of this lifetime, but I'm assuming they are the energies that we brought with us through and bring with us through the course of all of our experiences, and that we're here now physically. So these energies are an accumulation.
That is the understanding within the traditions. Yes, there is an accumulation, not just a single lifetime's activity. But of course, that also plays into it. You know, that's not there, but yes, it's definitely over a very long period of time. And of course, because most people have never heard of these sort of technologies or these systems, then of course they've never done anything about that. So they get more and more tangled lifetime to lifetime.
So would you say then that the approach to surrender is not much different than the approach to Kundalini, in the sense that Kundalini, I mean, you can go at Kundalini the same way. You can go take yoga classes and, you know, start to pound your way in, and you might break something free and go crazy, or you might not, or, you know, but when you were talking about it, I thought, so you got to come at this with the same reverence or the same appreciation that you would if you were wanting to open or stimulate Kundalini, or is surrender an aspect of that process as well?
Gosh, it's a very interesting question, Jim. I think that there's actually a great deal of relationship between all of that. we Kundalini, very misunderstood subject, very mysterious subject. You know, perhaps certain people in the audience have a certain understanding of what that is. So perhaps my own understanding of it is, it may be a little bit different from that. But I would say really they're the same, in the sense that actually what you're surrendering to in both cases is the divine, called by any other name. I think that actually happens to be feminine in nature. That just happens to be what the divine reality in the experiential sphere is the feminine aspect of divinity. And therefore, when we surrender to the deep self, we're surrendering to the goddess energy, to the feminine aspect of creation. We're therefore also surrendering to Kundalini itself, because they are identical. They're one and the same thing. Yeah, she has a very strange kind of phenomenological arising, you know, in all of the very strange, freaky stuff that happens in Kundalini manifestations. But in its full manifestation, it's a kind of a surrender of the Atman to the Brahman. It's a surrender of the small self to the big self. It's a surrender of the human identity to its divine identity, ultimately. And it just so happens that the full flourishing of divine identity in a human being, in a physical body on Earth, the planet, happens to be the manifestation of Kundalini. You know, you realize yourself as the primal goddess. That is the realization of full surrender. You know, that's all very esoteric, but that happens to be how it is.
That's amazing. We are we're going to take a quick break, Paul. I'm going to plug my book for a minute. This is a good place to let people digest that. And we're going to come back in 1 minute, so bear with us. Hello, everyone. Jim Case here with the Science of Transformation and Adventures in Truth podcast. I am super excited to tell you about my new book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. This book is a deep dive into the evolution of fear in our human experience. I truly believe this book will change your life. When you read it and integrate it and apply this new understanding of what fear is and how it works, how it's used, you see that fear truly is a choice, whether we're using it consciously or unconsciously. And that awareness will create quantum change in your life, and the freedom that you can experience is extraordinary. Head over to www.adventuresintruth.com and sign up for pre-sales and getting information about the distribution of the book. I'm excited to share it with you, as well as some excerpts going into the future. And thank you for being part of the Science of Transformation family and Adventures in Truth. Have an amazing day. Woohoo! And we're back for a quick minute here. So I would love, and maybe we can do this at another time, maybe we can have a conversation about Kundalini in and of itself, because I know that is just a crazy conversation, and a very deep one. I'd like to kind of direct the conversation just for a minute into this idea of helping people to understand what's happening in your energy when you surrender. Not as a way of manufacturing it, but as an understanding of the outcome. And you touched on it a little bit when we talked about the unraveling of those karmic energies and the impact that can have on I know for me that at various points in my experience where big pieces of energy have broken free, the transformation that occurs in the moment is spectacular. And not even to mention what goes on into the future when you continue to, when you realize that you no longer are carrying that baggage and or that piece of heavy energy, the quantum change it makes in your field and your experience. I would love to dive into that for just a minute, because I think it really is important for people to understand how important and significant and necessary moving toward this process is in each of our own aspects of evolution.
I think that actually. I think ultimately what happens to our energy when we surrender is it evolves strangely. I think that it on one hand it evolves, and on another hand it dissolves into emptiness. It sort of isn't going anywhere particularly. Of course, from a perspective, energy cannot be created or destroyed, but it can kind of return to its origin, and its origin at root happens to be not energy. It happens to be that which is opposite to energy, which is emptiness, which is equal to pure consciousness. I think that it tends to dissolve into that and just become kind of, one with its source once again, ultimately. Of course, it can go into other places occasionally. I mean, of course, letting go of one part of the body, pain, for example, might shift over to another part of body pain. So it doesn't go into emptiness kind of automatically, but it at its highest level of surrender, it equals to dissolution of the energy field. It is constricting whatever energy was contained within it. It's a releasing and a relaxing and a letting go into emptiness, into spaciousness, into nothingness, ultimately. Nothingness isn't a very good term, to be honest. Emptiness is a better term. It gives it a more kind of space-like feeling. When you think about emptiness, you think about vast open plains and spaces. And that's a little bit more how it is. It's a freedom rather than a lack.
I like that. I was remembering, and I don't know if you specifically remember this, but I remember it in one of the ceremonies, the when for me that process was unfolding. I remembered that you said at one point, and I don't know how I captured it because I was so in the process for myself, but I remembered you saying to the group, that what they were observing was claiming parts of my power that had been somehow, and I'm adding words now because you said it very concisely, but it was this idea that as that energy releases, you're really claiming, you're almost as if, because for me, I was having these experiences of beings, like apparently beings that I had been in previous incarnations that were showing up and were reintegrating into my experience. That's what it was. They were reintegrating and they were powerful, powerful energies. But I remembered you saying that was, and that to me was, I think, a part of what felt like the surrender was just allowing that reintegration of self that I didn't know I didn't have. But once I had it, the change was like crazy good. I mean, it was like night and day to how I experienced my own energy, how I experienced my own field just within me. How it was experienced outside of myself, I could say. But
again, you know, there are various levels of surrender. You know, once we've surrendered the fixidity of the personality that we've, brought into this life, when we realize that there may be something beyond that and that we can allow whatever that may be to start to come through, yeah, of course, all kinds of phenomena are going to arise, from an awareness of other lives to, psychic abilities to, getting in touch with the animus or the anima, all kinds of different kind of levels of a reintegration of the deeper aspects of the self with the more conscious aspects of self. And I think then there is still that step beyond the known. And the known may be that also inclusively. It may be all your other lives, it may be all your psychic abilities and all of that kind of stuff. All of it is still something to go beyond, everything known, whatever that may be, to step outside of all of that and to let go into that is that higher level. But I think we also need to understand this ability of being able to surrender to this moment fully and completely, not to put it in some faraway space, but actually, to understand, we can give ourselves over to our own nervous system. We can give ourselves over to our own mind. We can give ourselves over to whatever energy we're kind of feeling or sensing in the moment in that kind of meditative way, and use this as a training tool for those higher stages of leaping into death or into, the enlightened condition.
So I love, not love, that's probably a strong word for how it feels. What you were saying in one, you pass a threshold, and it's just like every teaching anywhere that I've seen is that there is another threshold somewhere, and we're called to the next threshold, and then we're called to the next threshold, and that even the threshold, the threshold that I got to experience in my own personal journey led to this new threshold that you went, part of you goes, what? I thought I got there. And then you go, no, you did. You got there, and now there's there. And there isn't really there, but we know a whole other thing.
Yeah, exactly. The universe is evolving. The divine energy of the universe is evolving. So, there's no end to the growth. There's no end to the evolution. Perhaps there is an end to letting go. I think that is an attainable state that one is able to attain for oneself, this being beyond state. But in the beyond, there's still growth, there's still evolution, there's still transformation. But it isn't taken so personally. It's recognized as an activity of the whole and not of the individual any longer.
Yeah, that's a fascinating aspect of it, and another piece that we could spend a long time talking about, because that shift is really quite remarkable. For me, it was very pronounced because it was something that I felt challenged by for much of my life, is the difference between the self experience and the world, or the larger experience, the not self experience. And it's, that
this is that, the crux. Well, this is really the crux of the spiritual kind of question that we've all come in with, is what or who am I? You know, all practice in a sense can be reduced to this single question. And it, you know, just goes into, well, we think we know what we are, but, you know, spiritual reality points towards something else. So we kind of let go of what we think we are in order to move to that. You know, that this is essential. Who am I? What am I?
Amazing questions. It's good stuff. Timing wise, it would be a good time, and I would be absolutely honored if you wouldn't mind taking us into a meditation to kind of give us a little bit of that. I don't, you know, not taking us to surrender, maybe, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But I think we'd all love to go on a little journey with Paul for a minute, if that's okay. We've got about 15 minutes, so you have plenty of room there to explore if you'd like.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you.
Are you ready for that?
I'm surrendered to being ready to that.
I'm with you.
Okay. Okay, so I'd like to just invite you to just close your eyes and just notice where your body is for a moment. Just notice any areas of tension in the body. Maybe a stiff shoulder or neck, maybe tightness in the back. Just wherever you're feeling a little bit tight, a little bit constricted, just notice it. The first stage in surrender, or really the first stage of spiritual practice, and the last stage of spiritual practice is awareness. So just be aware of where your body is and notice areas of tension, and then just release, just relax. Try and feel as though the muscles are melting, unwinding and releasing. And just feel how good it feels to let go of the tension in the body. Just letting go of the tension in the jaw, back of the head, behind the ears, behind the eyes, shoulders and neck. These are all areas that can hold a lot of tension in a lot of people. So just really just trying to release the physical structures of the body as much as possible. This is always a work in progress. You know, we can always find deeper and deeper levels of relaxation at all the different levels of our being. So don't ever really be satisfied with a level of relaxation, but to know that you can let go more, you can release more. So continually releasing into the warm release and glow of relaxation. We'll just let the breath be. We won't worry too much about the breath. We won't try and change it at all. And even actually, we're not really going to bring a focus to the breath. Sometimes that can create a kind of like almost an agitation. By bringing a little bit too much awareness to the breath, it can make the breath go a little bit erratic, in fact. So just ignore the breath. Don't pay it any mind. Become aware of the mind itself and any chattering, any verbal dialogue in the mind, any analysis of what we're talking about, any conceptualization, or any just random thoughts about the past or the future. Again, just noticing the mind. The mind is funny because it's not really a thing. The more we relax physically, the more the mind begins to soften. So the more we relax, the more the mind relaxes. And the more the mind relaxes, the more the body relaxes. And we just try and soften the mind. We can let it carry on chattering away, but we don't need to attach to whatever it's saying. We don't need to identify with whatever it's saying. We can just simply notice it and then just try and soften it. Just relax it, just like relaxing the body. Just relax the mind. Let it settle. Eventually, we want the mind to just return to its own root. We want the energy of the body and the physical body to just try and find its own stable level, its own base, as it were. What would happen if everything was just completely relaxed? It was just in its complete baseline reality, if it didn't have to do anything, really. Just relax everything. And then we're going to go through this process of identifying what we are, or perhaps what we are not, in order to perhaps find that which we truly are. And we're going to kind of dive in a little bit to this question, who am I? Again, as we spoke about, this is really a key question. The crux of our spiritual questioning can be dissolved to this singular question, who am I? So we can ask ourselves, did we come in with a name? Were we given a name? Well, we didn't come in with a name, so our name was a given. We can't really say that we are our name. We have to be something beyond that because we existed before that. So we don't really want to identify with our name so much. That's not really going to serve us. That's not really a true identity. And then we want to start looking at the different processes of body and mind to try and identify whether there is any stability to be found there, whether there is a base on which we can identify or to which we can identify. So we need to ask, is this the same body that we had when we were 10 years old? You know, maybe there are 10-year-old listeners, but for most of us, this is not the same body we had when we were 10 years old. We can ask ourselves, is this the same body we're going to have when we are 90 years old? Again, maybe if we keep in super fit shape, super healthy, perhaps we can maintain some of our body structure and, you know, certain physiological activity. But we do kind of understand that actually we're not going to be the same physically when we're 90 as when we were 10 or as we are now. So we don't really want to identify with the body. We don't want to say the body is who I am, because it's a transitory thing. It's a transformative thing. It doesn't have something we can rely on or strongly identify with, because it changes from moment to moment, from year to year, from decade to decade. Likewise, we want to ask whether or not we can identify or should identify with the mental activity. And of course, we know from our own experience of observing the mind that the mind is crazy, that the mind is all over the place, and that it thinks a million different thoughts at a million miles per hour. So there's nothing really solid to be found there. It's true that we may have certain recurring thoughts, but we don't really want to create an identification and say this thought equals me, or even the stream of consciousness within my mind. We don't really want to say this is me, because you are not really in control of it. You don't know its origin. You don't know its root, and you're not really thinking. And the thoughts are just occurring. Anyone who's ever meditated realizes the mind does its own thing. Even when you're wanting to sit quietly with yourself, the mind is still very active. You know, it goes on and on, and, you know, talking to itself essentially. And you pay it no mind, and it kind of quietens down, or it maybe is verbalizing in the background of your experience. but it's not you, it's not who you are. So we can surrender the notion of I am my body, we can surrender the notion I am my mind. Likewise, our emotional body, the waving of our emotions from moment to moment in some cases. Perhaps some of us have more stability in the emotional body and we feel a certain way for longer periods of time. However, all of us are unstable on an emotional level. We're all susceptible to fits of anger and rage and jealousy, and the more positive emotional activity, which also just comes, you know, love strikes like lightning. We can't say whence or where it comes from. We don't choose to fall in love. We don't choose to hate. These emotions are flowing through whatever this field of energy is. So we can surrender the idea that we are our emotions or that we are identified with our emotions. So you can see how we're beginning to surrender and let go of very deeply held conditioning about who and what we are. Likewise, of course, our personality is actually really constructed via the emotional body, the mental activity, the way that we feel physiologically and physically on a day-to-day basis, as well as all of our beliefs and conditions, desires, likes and dislikes, etc. But all of these things, if we analyze them, are conditional. All of them are conditional. None of them equal innate being. So actually, we can go beyond personality. We know that we change from day to day. Sometimes we wake up and we say we don't feel like ourselves. Who do you feel like then? It's a changeable feast. We can let go of that. We can surrender that. So who are we when we surrender all of the deeply held conditioning we've held about the nature of ourself? And once we encounter that energy, that spaciousness, that emptiness, that sense of the unknown, we want to make a leap in a conscious fashion into that emptiness, into that spaciousness, into that unknown energy. Just melt there, melt into the unknown, just let go.
Are we complete?
Let's hope so.
Thank you very, very much for that. That was wonderful. Hope you all had a powerful experience there. We have about a minute or so left. If anybody has a quick question, happy to help you out there. Otherwise, thank you for joining us today, Paul. As always, it's amazing having you here, and thank you for this really, really wonderful conversation. I think it brought a lot of clarity to understanding this idea of surrender and how we can walk toward it, and how we can, and the meditation I think just drove it home. That was a complete home run as far as taking everything we talked about and anchoring it into our energetic experience. So guys, you can touch base with Paul. Even though if you don't go to Peru, he's at www.tantraya.com. They have lots of good things going on there. Paul's regularly offering workshops and seminars online now as we deal with all this good stuff. And hopefully in the near future, again, we'll be able to go back down and hang out in person, which I'm looking forward to. But thank you everyone for being a part of the show today, and check out my website, www.adventuresintruth.com. You can learn more about the show, check out the podcast as well as all the live shows, and have an amazing afternoon. And thank you all for being here, and I hope you have a wonderfully surrendered weekend. Thanks, Paul. Great to see you.
Blessings. Ciao. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.